This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Are you enjoying the fellowship of Jesus Christ? You should be. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we stand before the text that is ours today, where you said, "I no longer call you servants, but friends," our minds are baffled. That you would come here to call us your friends. Help us to understand, at least in part, what that means. And then grant that we may be wise enough that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we may claim that friendship and enjoy it as we walk with you through life. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
God's Son has made me free. God's Son has made me free from Satan's tyranny, from fear of death and bonds of sin, from all that plagues my soul within. The Holy One Divine became a friend of mine. From heaven high, from starry sky, he came to live, to die. Oh, boundless love, he came, he died, he rose forever glorified. He came to give, to die that I might live. From heaven high, from starry sky, he came to die that I might live, might live.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go out and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
To God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often for.
Friends in Christ, the more we study the Bible, it becomes evident that God wants to have a strong, personal relationship with people. Listen to the words of this text. I've already read it for you once, but they are so marvelous that I would certainly suggest that you commit them to memory. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. When the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the meaning of these words, I believe we hear God saying something like this: I want you for my friends. I've got great big plans for you. Together we are going to build an eternal kingdom, and you will have a major role in serving as my ambassadors. You're far more than my servants. Servants don't know their master's business, but I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from my Father. I have no secrets with you. I have kept nothing from you. You may not understand all of these things that I have revealed to you, but you know what they are. I think this is exactly what our Lord is saying. And so let's spend a few minutes with it. I'd like to begin by drawing another picture. There are some similarities, though there are some differences too. I have a friend who has been an inspiration to me now for many years. He's a great man. He's a committed Christian. He has not had, at the beginning of his life at least, an easy time of it. He immigrated to this country after World War II. He was thoroughly convinced that America was one of the greatest places in the world that he could live. So he came to our shores, and he did have a trade. In other words, he knew how to do a particular thing. He landed in our community, and I don't know how, but eventually he applied for a job, and he was hired by a very substantial company. He was to practice his trade. He had two responsibilities, as far as I could figure out. The one was that he was to be competent in his work and to be able to satisfy the customer. And the second one was that he should faithfully report to the job each working day. And so each Monday through Friday, the man came, sick or well, with a strong work etiquette. Pretty soon he was being watched, and there was a report that was going up to the head office. Keep your eye on this person you hired a couple of years ago. He's a keeper. We need to have him. And so he gained the admiration of his fellow workers, not only for his skills, but also for his demeanor. And finally, one day, he was called to the office and was told that because of his expertise, they wanted him to become a part of management. And when he was a part of management, he would share in some of the confidences of that concern, of that firm. And that went on for years. And then finally, one day, he was elevated to vice president. And when that man retired from that company, he retired as the president. It had been a long way from growing up in another land to the prestigious position he held with that firm. I think there is some similarity here. God knows there are many differences, but there are some. I'll point out the differences to you. You remember what Jesus said in the text, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." This man, I would assume, went and applied for that job, either directly or through somebody else. Quite different. Now, this man also that I made reference to, who became the president of the company, is a very committed Christian. And if he were here today preaching this sermon to you, he would say, "Oh no, it was God who began the action. It was God who came to me as a young person. It was God who invited me to receive him into my heart through Jesus Christ, my Lord." We learned also in his telling of what he did as a person in this great company that he worked at, that he worked hard and he applied himself and he impressed the management until they finally said, "You know, we want to make this fellow our friend. We want to make him a part of management too." That did not happen with God. You can be sure that God kept his eye on him every day. And God saw to it that he continued to mature in the faith. But God knew what he could do. God knew that that man would get greater and greater and greater in the kingdom of God with his guidance and strength, not by his own power. This man on the job worked his way up the ladder. Jesus accepted him for who he was and walked with him until he became one of his great friends. He gained admiration and love because of his performance. Jesus claims us for not our performance, but for who we are. Sinners who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ to live with God and his friends forever. And the product that this man was seeing produced was going to wear out someday. And they'd have to have another piece of that same kind of machinery to operate in their home. But those of us who are a part of the building of the kingdom of God along with our friend Jesus, these are eternal souls of people. And we're not just selling a good service. We're giving away a precious gospel to every one of these people who really the Lord Jesus loves and wants them as his friends too. Now, what has Jesus made known to us that the Father first made known to him? One thing through the writings of the scriptures, he has made known to us that we are created in the image of God. And pray tell me, what does that mean in the image of God? Is that a picture of our physical body and God looks like this? No, God is not a body. God is a spirit. But Jesus said, "I'll tell you what the Father has told me, and I'm going to tell you this. You are created with, among other things, a soul. And that soul lives on out into eternity." St. Paul put it this way, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Now, what is that telling us? That's a new wrinkle that you don't read about in the newspaper or in one of the news magazines. This is saying to us that after we die, we live. And Paul, because he died trusting in Jesus Christ, said, "That life that I live after this time is going to be far greater than what I am receiving here." So I learn that there is life after death. And I live that way, do I not? Don't you? We live with this understanding that it's not just all here on this earth. My pattern of living would be entirely different if I didn't think there was something, a heavenly home after I die. And then Jesus comes and said, let me tell you what I received from my Father, and I'm going to give it to you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And then one day I'm coming back and I'm going to receive you, and you and I are going to live together there as friends. Even probably closer friends than we were when you were on earth and I was in heaven. And he'll describe to us what heaven is. Now, what is heaven? Well, my knowledge of it is very limited, and I think every human's life is limited when you come to think of the details of heaven. We know that there is going to be no sorrow, no suffering, no death. We know there will be no starvation, no people dying from thirst. There will be no imperfections. We cannot imagine it. But that's a little bit of a description that the Word of God has given to us of heaven, and I can't go much beyond that. In fact, I don't dare to go beyond that, because it seems to me that so many of the other references that sometimes people hold up are sort of concoctions of our own making, or taking a passage of Scripture perhaps out of context and say, this is what heaven is going to be like. Well, I think it's all right to go on and dream that way if it brings us help and comfort during the time that we're away from our loved ones. But we don't know the details of heaven. But what the Father gave to Jesus, Jesus gave to us. That's what he's saying, and that's why I'm your friend, he said. I don't want to call you a servant. I want to call you my friend. Here is what I have. This is the latest that I have about the heavenly home. What about hell? Is there a hell? So often people will say to me, why don't you ministers preach once in a while about hell? You won't be frightening us, but you ought to let us know that it's still a very strong teaching in the Bible. I agree. And the other day, I was reading a delightful book that I would recommend to any of you. It's entitled Dinner with a Perfect Stranger, written by David Gregory. Let me quote, this person is having dinner with Jesus. And over the dinner, the person asked Jesus, do you believe in hell? And Jesus replies this way, yes, for those who choose to stay separated from God, there is an existence. And the inquirer asks, what's it like? And Jesus answers, and I think it's such a fresh picture of hell. It doesn't tell it all. It just gives us some understanding of how horrible it will be. If you remove all sources of good from this existence, that's what hell is like. If you remove all sources of good from life, then you know what hell is like. Because God is the source of all good. So if God is not with you, if God is not a part of this eternal existence, then nothing that he has given here that's good will be there. It will be free of all that is good. For those who choose separation from him, there is no good. You cannot even comprehend how bad that would be. But remember this, people go to hell not because they're sent there, but because they choose to go there. People go to hell because they choose separation from God. He respects what they choose. God's love does not force relationships. Isn't that a pretty fresh picture of how horrible hell will be? Nothing good there. Now, I believe that that's passed on to me from God. It came from another human being. And it seems that it's very true to Scripture. Therefore, I can accept it as another revelation. Well, you say, this is all fine and good, but tell me, I'm just a very ordinary person. In what way can I fit into this picture? Let me tell you a story. A few weeks ago, I buried a lady, 93 years old. She's worked hard during her life. She had a lovely family. For 25 years, her husband was a cardiac cripple, and she cared for him. And she cared for him with love and compassion and concern. Our daughter used to go into that home quite a bit. And real often she has said, oh, they're so happy down there. Even though Mr. So-and-so is so sick, they're still happy. When he was buried, our visitation pastor, who often visited them, said it was a lift to go and visit them. But now they raised 3 children, and there are grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And like any other family, they without a doubt had their tough times too. So I said in her funeral sermon, how often do you think your mother was on her knees, remembering her family before the throne of grace and praying for you? She presented Jesus to them. See, she was a friend of Jesus. And Jesus said to her, as my friend, your mission in building this kingdom of God is not in Africa, India, China, wherever it may be. It is in your home, with your family. Always keep Jesus before them. We said last week we were going to talk about some recall verses. And we said last week the one was, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Why don't you add this one? I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. We're in this together. We're building the kingdom of God, which is eternal, will never wear out. Take it with you, will you, friend? You're on a mission with friend Jesus. Amen.
Oh,
Father in heaven, help us, O God, not only to sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," all our sins and griefs to bear, but grant, O God, that we may come to that friend Jesus and hear him say, "I forgive you," and then hear him say, "You are my friend. Now go and bear much fruit, good fruit that lasts for all eternity." In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray your heart has been touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders services are made possible through the support of our listening family. Your offerings enable us to bring the gospel message to those who are unable to attend their own church services. We pray that if this ministry helps meet your spiritual needs, you will consider a tax-deductible contribution to help pay for radio time. Send your offerings, please, to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are all available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Or you can call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.